Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is the Runner's World Podcast.
Welcome to the Runner's World Podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today we're speaking with body positive campaigner and model Sharifa J. How's it going, Ben? You all right?
I'm good, mate. I'm very well. I look out my window and the sun is shining. Everything looks wonderfully autumnal. And I got out this morning on my bike for a little bit of Epping Forest, which was looking resplendent. So, you know, I'm still riding that crest of an endorphin wave from this morning.
Oh, that's promising. I was thinking the same thing this morning. I went for a little run round Brockwell Park, the local park, and I was like, is October actually the best month for running? I think you can make a case for it.
Just being outside, not even just running, cycling, walking. We went up to Hampstead Heath at the weekend. Excellent. I think it's just you're right. It's the best out. It's like, obviously summer has its benefits with warmth and sunshine and like being outside, but a lot of that comes with social activities. Now this year that's not been really that possible, so summer has diminished somewhat in its sort of powers, and I would say that October is doing a great job of being the best outdoor time.
I like it, mate. I think also, you know, if you're out running, you know you heat up really quickly, so these sort of days in summer where it's like, you know, I know we don't get that many, but that kind of 28, 29 degrees. Actually, for running, that's not ideal, but no. Temperatures like we got today, you get a bit of sun in October. Oh, I'll tell you what, I could write an ode to autumn like Keats, but I won't.
How are you? Apart from your Brockwell, you know, your run this morning.
No, I'm good. And I went for a run on Saturday, and I've purchased this thing called the Green Ground Map. So this is, somebody's kind of reimagined all the green spaces in London as a tube map. And so it looks like a tube map, but instead of having like Piccadilly Circus to Leicester Square, it will have, I don't know, Hyde Park to Hampstead Heath, you know, and it has the distances between these green spaces and various lines. So I plotted a route around South London
based on that. It's all foot-based or bike or something. It's not
all foot-based. There's not the actual route that you pick between the green spaces is up to you. So there's quite a lot of you've got a lot of freedom between.
Doesn't have like public transport links on it and stuff like that. It's just
no.
Right, got it.
Yeah, all about self-propelled travel.
Nice.
And it's a really nice way of plotting routes. And I think also it's something that that other cities could 100% do, because I mean, yeah, I think lots of great UK cities have a lot of interesting spaces and green parks and the rest of it. So, I'd like to see more of this green ground map, more cities reimagined around their green spaces rather than, around their tube stations. And I'm gonna explore a bit more and hopefully tick off a few of the parks that I haven't seen.
That sounds great. I reckon those are the sorts of things that should be present in all tube stations, so that when someone gets there, they can be like, oh, I can just walk. That's the sort of thing. Anyway,
I've got a bit of pseudoscience. Yes.
No, not even pseudoscience. Legit, and it's going to make
full science.
It's going to make 50% of the world agree, and the other half will probably question it. But we've got more imperial evidence that states that women are better pacers than men. So a new run study, a new run repeat study, has analysed 2,348,505 marathon results from 2009 to 2019, and they look at the different pace throughout the marathon between the men and the women, and the data shows that women are 18.33% better at keeping an average pace than the men, And if to rub salt into our wounds, the women burn out less in the second half of a marathon.
Yeah, it's actually, this has been kind of talked about for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah,
this is a huge study that sort of really confirms it. And it's not that close either. 18.3% better at keeping even pace. So that's like, I mean, that's a marked difference. And it's interesting to sort of speculate as to why that is. Why are men pacing things wrong? I'd imagine probably going out too hard at the start and then fading away a bit. Ego. Yeah, I think that's right.
Basically,
that's
right. Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's been fairly evident from other data that we've looked at before, and ultra results have been quite telling in this debate. It's not really a debate. It's just a nice sort of breakdown of some data, really. But you know, women are consistently better at running ultras, it seems, from results. So you know, it does go to show that, you know, these stats are very telling. So if you want to run a marathon more consistently and evenly, and not burn out so much in the second half, you should take a note from all the women.
Yeah, agreed. I think there's a maturity about the way that female runners approach endurance events that is not always there with male runners. And stats like this prove it. Hey, but also got some other science for you as well. This is about running shoes. So I guess the headline would be, "Are your running shoes weakening your feet?" And it shows that shoes with a toe spring in them. So the vast majority of
running shoes, and certainly
just ones in which your toe is slightly angled up. So most running shoes you see, unless you're running in like an outro or like some kind of Vibram or something very, very flat, you're likely to have a toe spring, aren't you? Likely that the front bit is going to go up a little bit. And it showed that while running, that makes running easier, makes the foot work less while running. The downside of that is that wearing them too often could mean that your foot is getting weaker as a result. And obviously a weak foot can lead to things like plantar fasciitis, and weak feet are obviously not a runner's friend. But it's this interesting balance there where actually to run in these shoes seemingly is easier. When you think about something like, let's look at the Nike Vaporfly yet again, that has a noticeable toe spring. So it's obviously not doing any harm for running, but it might be something to think about if you were like, what shoe am I running in all the time? Does that have a massive toe spring? Or maybe, like, what am I walking around in during the day? I think what we agree on, doing a lot of your non-running activities in a shoe that probably doesn't have a toe spring, that doesn't have a squash forefoot, that doesn't have too much of a heel. I think when it actually comes to running, I'm kind of now in that kind of space of, I think what you run in can actually have some of those things and should have a bit of cushioning, etc. But what you do outside of that should try. Yeah, I think the more natural a shoe you can get away with, the better.
You know, it doesn't have to be fancy, orthotic looking things. Just get yourself a nice pair of Vans or something. They're pretty flat. You know, you don't have to walk around like a very uncool dad like me, who's, you know, walking around in his Vivos or looking. Yeah, exactly. I've got massive feet as well, so they do look like clown shoes. But, you know, you stop caring at some point, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I tell you what, should we go on our guest of the week?
Yes, let's do it. Much better than this.
Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown.
Okay, our guest this week is Sharifa J, a model, body positivity campaigner and runner. And we're delighted to have her on, and we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of body positivity in the world of running. So Sharifa, welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Hey, welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
One of the angles that we'd really like to explore is kind of the idea of body positivity and running.
Yeah, totally. I think it's a really important conversation, actually. And I'm only now starting to see brands like, and I not that brands are the be all and end all, but they, when it comes to fitness, I think brands are very integrated in like the running and fitness community, aren't they? Like New Balance and Gymshark, and you know, because everyone uses them. So I think it's interesting to see now that brands are even starting to use like plus size women or, you know, different body shapes as an aspirational fitness look, which is, it's really interesting. So yeah, good conversation. I'm into it.
Yeah, it's actually often some, a kind of request we have on the for Runner's World, because I look after the letters pages in Runner's World, and quite often we'll have people say, look, we like the fact that we like the content of the magazine, but that actually most of the people that you show pictures of are slightly unattainably kind of toned and fit looking people, and it would be great to get more plus size or more kind of like, I guess, more like real life people in the pages. So I think that's something that we could work on as well as a brand.
Yeah, definitely. I think it needs to be for people to want to get involved and train and like be involved in this community, then the representations that they see have to be a bit more tangible. I think just needs to be, you know, I think it does feel so unattainable for so many people that they feel intimidated to even put on a pair of fitness trousers or put on a pair of trainers and go out running, because they're worried that, oh, I don't look like the quote unquote typical runner. So because I don't look like that runner, I would feel embarrassed. And I get lots of questions on my Instagram about that, of people saying, how do you have the confidence to go running in your local area? And it makes me really sad that people have been made to feel that way, because I think what we spent so much time focusing on the aesthetic of health and fitness, but actually forgetting that it's incredible for your mental health. It's amazing for your hormones. It's amazing just to keep your body strong and healthy and your posture. Everyone thinks about fitness to achieve a certain body type or to lose weight or to gain abs. Whereas I think about fitness as a great way to keep my mind healthy, to keep my body healthy, to keep my joints healthy. And I just think that conversation is not being had enough either.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right.
Definitely. I think it was really telling the other day, and you mentioned Gymshark when they put up a picture of I forget her name now, but they basically put up a model and she had her stomach out, and it was in support of anyone wearing Gymshark, and that was the sort of the tone of it. But the comments and the sort of backlash online for someone who wasn't, you know, an Instagram looking person in Gymshark kit was incredible. It was, yeah, it kind of like, it really highlighted that sort of pressure, I guess, that their aesthetic is always there as a target.
There's a lot of fat phobia that I think people aren't willing to always admit necessarily. They've got this ingrained fat phobia just in our culture. Even if you turn on, like, I don't want to get too political here, but even some of the statements that you see on television about being overweight and what it means to be overweight and how it's so bad for your health, and how, you know, you could get coronavirus if you gain a bit of weight. But people don't talk about the negative impact that eating disorders and, you know, a lot of people who are addicted to the gym, for example, and have an obsession with weighing their food. And, you know, no one actually talks about that as much of a problem. In fact, I think that's even more encouraged in our society, because you have apps like MyFitnessPal, and you have these ripped bodies on the cover of magazines to encourage that in the fitness world. And nobody talks about, there's an amazing content creator, I forget his name now, JB. Well, I'd have to come back to you on that, but he's basically great, and he does these Instagram videos, and he's got an 8-pack, and he points out that even though he's got an 8-pack, he has these problems with his joints, and he has Crohn's disease, and he has all these different things which you wouldn't think of looking at this quote unquote healthy, perfect, aspirational body. And, you know, I think it's this really interesting conversation when it comes to fat phobia as being, you know, don't be fat, it is so unhealthy. But then, you know, what is health? Like, define health, because yes, perhaps you might have a slightly bigger body mass index. Like, I know that I do have a higher BMI, but I also used to have a much smaller BMI. If you scroll all the way back through my Instagram about 4 or 5 years ago, I was a size 8 and I used to eat an apple a day and a piece of salmon occasionally. And I had an eating disorder and I was unwell and I was emotionally unstable and my nails wouldn't grow and my hair wouldn't grow and I had a stomach ache constantly. And yes, I was thin and my body was thin and probably acceptable, but did it necessarily mean that I was healthier? I would definitely say no, because right now, even though my body mass index is higher, my mind is healthier, my skin is healthier, my hair grows, I feel healthy, even though I am just a little bit fatter.
Yeah, I completely agree. We've got to broaden our definition of what it is to be healthy. I remember speaking to Greg White, who's kind of like the trainer that you get if you're like a celebrity, right? So like David Walliams was trained by Greg White to swim the channel. And he's worked with lots of different people who are trying endurance events. And he said the same thing. He said that we need to get into our heads that people can be larger and still be incredibly fit, actually. And obviously you see it in stuff like channel swimming, because that has, you need to be slightly larger to deal with the cold. But if you look at an ultra marathon, you go to a start line there, the amount of different body shapes that you'll see is really eye-opening. And it would be very difficult to look at a start line and determine where people are going to finish based on their BMI. I think health is way broader than that. And I think you're right, that message needs to come out a bit more.
Definitely, absolutely. And I'm so glad to see, like you said, Gymshark embracing that, and brands actually, I know that I've been modeling for 8 years and around the world, and this last year and a half of my life has been the most fitness-based collaborations and partnerships that I've had ever. I just never would have been considered 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And now brands are finally starting to say, okay, people want to see this. And actually there's a bit of a gap in the market. It's great for me. but you know, I think it's incredible. I think it's really important. So I'm into it.
That's great. So could you tell us what role running has played for you this year? And it's been an incredibly strange year for lots of people, but I'd be interested to know how running has kind of, the role it's played.
Yeah, definitely. So I think, obviously, yeah, like you said, this year has been a really, really difficult, turbulent, unprecedented, I think is the word of the year, isn't it? Yeah. Kind of year. And the main thing for me that running has always done is it's kept me on track with my goal setting. When I know that I've got a challenge, it's particularly like, even if it was a virtual challenge or I did like a virtual race at home and I'm doing the virtual, I'll be running the virtual 10K next week, actually. Whatever it is, knowing that I have that goal just gets me out of bed. It gets me up and out of the house and doing something, because I know that in like 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 10 weeks time, I have to run that race, even if I'm doing it virtually. So for me, running has been a huge savior. I think probably midway through that first lockdown where I'd lost a lot of my jobs, a lot of my contracts had been put on hold, and I was just feeling quite aimless. I think a lot of people might have been in the same boat. And running was really one of the, and fitness in general, was one of the only things that I could control and I had the power over. So I made myself a little fitness plan and I stuck to it, and it really just helped to keep me grounded. And also knowing that I had that goal forced me up and out of the house for my 1 hour exercise. So it really was a saving grace. And in turn, obviously, because of keeping on top of my exercise, it helped me to just feel mentally stronger as well.
Yeah. We agree with that, Ben, don't we? That's exactly what we've been saying, I think, throughout this year.
Oh, the initial plunge into lockdown back in April or whenever it was, and the impact that had in terms of how, when something you took for granted suddenly becomes the one thing that you're allowed to do, be it running or cycling, just those bits of exercise, how sort of precious they were and how important to maintaining a sort of a degree of normality and a degree of like control and all the things that were completely taken away. Yeah. That's exactly it. Like the running became far more important than I kind of imagined it would be was probably the fairest way to put it.
I definitely agree. It's like a like a little sanctuary, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A little safe space.
So you're obviously taking part in the virtual race at the weekend, and you previously taken part in the Vitality London 10,000 meter wearing only your underwear with your friends. What message were you communicating back then, and have you got an outfit for this year?
So at the moment, that the attire is up for debate. I think just because it's quite cold. Last year, I think we ran in May or something. So it was really nice and warm. We ran past the Queen's house in our underwear, like sweating, having a great time. I think I got a tan, actually. So I think it's just debatable about whether we're going to run in our underwear. I think some people have got their heart set on it. I'm somewhere in between. But yeah, I think the message there was just about being positive about your body, like whatever state it's in. I think we place so much emphasis on our bodies and what they look like. And then if you actually step outside of that for a second, you remember that your body is a vessel and it's designed to, you know, it's amazing. Your bodies are incredible. Like you put stuff into them and then they put out energy and then they do other stuff. And like you're breathing the whole time and your brain is working. They're incredible machines. And so I always find it interesting how all that anyone ever focuses on is how the size of their bum, or like, you know, like, oh no, this bit's popped up there. So for me, it's just about like celebrating this incredible body that we've been given that works and that gets us from A to B. And also like celebrating the fact that, you know, it's important to remember that your body changes your whole life. When you're a baby to when you're, you know, an old man or woman warm in your bed, your body is going to be completely different. And I think it's really important to just, no matter what state you're in, no matter if it's been, you know, you had a good Christmas, you had a few too many pies, or, you know, if you've been stressed and perhaps you haven't been eating as much, is to just say, okay, this is me, this is how I look, and that's okay. And really, there's nothing worse than just punishing yourself for, you know, your body reacts to the environment. It reacts to stress. You know, sometimes you gain weight as like a protection method, or you're eating more because there's something emotional going on. And rather than just punishing yourself for the changes, you know, love what you see in the mirror, and then also set your goals to work on what you feel like you need to work on. But throughout that period, I think that self-punishment is just so detrimental, and it's so sad to see people doing it. So I think Celebrate You is all about celebrating your body and loving what you've got and what you've been given and just working with it.
Because that's the theme for this year's Vitality 10,000, isn't it? It's a Celebrate You. It's kind of for you, that's just about kind of accepting yourself as you are, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, when it comes to your body, what other message could there really be, you know, other than just... Yeah, yeah. You have to just own what you've got, because unfortunately or fortunately, it's not going to change that. You know, you can do things to change your body in certain ways, but you know, this is what you've been given, you know, rather than having to, you know, I do feel quite passionately about young women and men who feel like they need to go and you get lots of plastic surgery to just find happiness within themselves. And although I support anyone's decision to do what they feel makes them happy, I think having that mentality that, oh, don't worry, I'll just cut that bit off. I don't like it. I'll just cut it off. You know, I think, where did we even get this attitude from? Yeah, I always think if you were an alien and you came down from space and you saw people were doing this, you'd be like, what is going on? So rather than all of that, you know, Just embrace what you've got and love it.
Hear, hear. I think that's a great message.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I think a lot of people, Sharifa, were kind of worried about, well, I guess this kind of this sort of second lockdown, but also I know a lot of people's mental health struggles more in the winter months. Is there anything that you do in particular to make sure that you kind of stay on top of that during winter, and anything that you could advise other people do?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm a pro at this. And the reason I'm a pro at this is because I do have quite a long history of mental health issues. So I suffered quite badly with anxiety and depression over the years. And I have ADHD, which is not a mental health problem. It's a neurological disorder, but it definitely affects me just in my day to day. So because of this, I've had to go out and find the tools to help myself to manage over the years. And I feel like I've kind of got it down to a T now. So
excellent. Good. Right.
Some of the things that I do, a big one for me is practicing good sleep hygiene, which I think a lot of people, especially now with like social media, don't do. People climb into their beds at 10, 11, 12 p.m. and they're still on Instagram, like scrolling through, or they're on their emails, or they're on their WhatsApp and they're looking at that screen constantly. So a huge thing for me would be to say, like, make sure you're getting enough sleep. Sleep is so important. So practicing good sleep hygiene is like switching your phone off, putting your phone in a drawer at 8 p.m. and or putting it onto airplane mode. You know, so many people listening to this would be like, but I don't have an alarm clock. I'll say, buy an alarm clock. It will cost you £2.50. Buy an alarm clock to wake you up. So, yeah, I think that's a huge thing. Obviously, looking at screens too often as well is just another kettle of fish in itself. But really, like, limiting your screen time, it's good sleep hygiene. So that's like, you know, actually have a good proper rest, you know, before bed, not looking at screens, relaxing, reading a book, having a bath. And making sure that you're able to switch your brain off to have a full rest. Because if you don't have a full rest, you just wake up the next day and you just feel like, you know, shit. So, and I think we always forget that. So good sleep hygiene, I think, I mean, it's probably a no-brainer, but like healthy eating and exercise are just so key when it comes to your mental function and hydration. And, you know, it's really important that you keep on top of that. And if you're not, don't punish yourself. But I think just try and set yourself goals to keep on top of your eating and your exercise. Because again, like your blood sugar levels, you might think you're feeling down, but maybe you're just hungry. Maybe you just need a snack. You know, of course, I think staying in touch with your support network as well. Like reaching out to people when you are feeling like you're having a difficult time. I think I'm an ambassador for the mental health charity CALM, which stands for Campaign Against Living Miserably. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, do live miserably. And some of that is to do with the fact that people just don't feel like they can talk to anyone or don't feel like they can open up and have conversations. But the power of vulnerability and just allowing yourself to reach out to that closest person and say, look, I'm having a really difficult time. I think you'd be surprised at how powerful that can be. So yeah, your support network. I think if you're really struggling, again, there's so much stigma around mental health. I think if you are struggling, I would always recommend to go and see a GP. a lot of people just don't feel like they can, or they, oh, you know, I'm fine, or I'll be okay. But if you just feel like things are unmanageable, go and see your GP, because they'll always be able to signpost you and give you the support that you need. And of course, you can always contact Calm, the mental health charity. I will always signpost to them. They have a 365 days a year service. Yes, I'm just questioning myself, but yeah, it is. But I really just think, yeah, keeping on top of it and checking in with yourself and just saying, you know, perhaps you might react to an email, like you might have a really dramatic response to a work email and you think, why did I react like that? And you realize, actually, I'm feeling a little bit down. And rather than just ignoring it and moving forward, actually dealing with these things in the moment, and doing a little bit of introspection, I think is just very important for us. So yeah, I would say sleep, eat, exercise, hydrate, support network. And if you're really struggling, contact your GP or Calm.
Yeah, I think that's all great advice. I know that there are some kind of more extreme stuff in there where people go kind of jump in Hampstead Heath and kind of freezing water, and that's been shown to sort of...
Yeah, I would definitely say a bit of Wim Hof would never hurt anyone.
Yeah, Wim Hof, yeah.
Oh, he'd be a good... I've got the app, it's great.
He'd be a good podcast guest, wouldn't he, Wim? Oh, yeah. I feel like he's amazing. He kind of like walks up sort of mountains kind of shirtless, just in his shorts, yeah. And yeah,
you never know, he might come on and be like, I'm sorry, excuse me, I have to go for a shower.
Yeah, that's
sorry, Wim, we're doing the podcast.
Yeah. No, live from the shower with Wim, anyway. what message, Sharifa, do you have for like anyone who... Because I think that this body positivity stuff, some people think, oh, I haven't got the physique to be a runner. That's not for me. That's for thin people. What's your message for people who might be thinking along those lines?
It's such a myth. It's such a crazy myth that like running is for just one type of person. And I can completely understand why people would feel like that. But as you said before, you know, you go to the ultra runner start line and you see all these different body shapes. I ran my first half marathon in March and I was like amazed at all these different body shapes. You know, there was tall, really tall people, really, you know, shorter people. There was bigger people and smaller people and all different races. And it was just incredible. And I think you have to let go of this idea of what a runner looks like. If you want to run, you are a runner. If you choose, you say, today I'm going to go running, that makes you a runner. But a really big thing I would always say is when you're starting out, I think we've all done it. We've all like psyched ourselves up for that run, got our playlist ready and got all our new gear. And we're like, okay, I'm going to go out for a run. And then first 2 or 3 minutes, you're like Sonic the Hedgehog. And you run as fast as you possibly can. And then you realize, oh my gosh, I'm absolutely exhausted. That was awful. I'm going to be sick. I'm never going on a run again. This was the worst thing ever. So I would just say, take it at your own pace. The thing about running is, and like your, you know, like what's the one, your VO2 max? Is that what it's called? You know, all of that fitnessy stuff. Basically what I'm trying to say is you have to build it up over time. No one's going to go from like couch to 5K in one run. So just take it at your own pace. Do what you can. Something I really liked trying to help me with my training for the half marathon was Jeffing. Do you know the one, Jeffing? It's like...
I've never heard this, right?
Yeah, it's like a running technique. Okay, I might be making it up, but I do think it is true.
Go on, yeah.
So Jeffing is where you run for like 1 minute, and then you walk for 1 minute. And
oh, no, I have heard this, yeah. This is, and it's based on, yes, I have heard of that approach. Is it Jeff Galloway it's based on? He used to write quite a lot for Run as well, so I should know that. Yeah.
He was basically, he was a massive advocate of the run-walk. So you run, yeah. You walk for a while, yeah. So, yeah, Jeffing.
That's
great.
It, Jeffing. So I feel like if you're a Jeffer, don't even be ashamed. It's like a full running technique. Here was me like going out for runs, being like, oh, I keep stopping. And then my good old friend Anna at the running channel, she was like, babes, that's a technique. Don't even worry about it. Like you're a full runner. So if you need to Jeff and just pass it off as what you intended to do.
I like this. This Jeffing is great. And I'm a huge fan of the run walk stuff. Particularly if you're somewhere very nice as well. If you're on like
a trail somewhere. Oh, some run walking. That's a very nice. Very nice.
Lovely morning hike.
Shreepa, thanks very much for coming on the Runner's World podcast and talking to us about body positivity. I think, yeah, it's an area that we should talk about more, and we really appreciate you giving up your time to come on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been an honour.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. A big thanks to our guest, Shreepa Jay, and to you, of course, for listening.
The Runner's World podcast is available on Acast, iTunes and all of your favourite podcast apps. Just search Runner's World UK and remember to subscribe. Talking of subscriptions, you can subscribe to Runner's World magazine today and just get 3 issues for only £5. To get this exclusive offer, please go to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.